Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you being with me today. Interestingly enough, my guest is Julie Guest. She is a best-selling author and trusted marketing advisor to private clients from across the globe, running businesses from $1 million to $1 billion+. She is the CEO of Bolder and Louder, a full-service marketing agency, and is the author of a new book, which was recently released, called The Client Stampede. Julie is regularly featured in various media, including Forbes, The New York Times, USA Today, Entrepreneur Magazine, and many others. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. So let's kind of start with this. Let's start with your backstory. How did you get to be where you are today?
I started my first business when I was in high school. I was a senior in high school, and a friend and I decided that we were going to start manufacturing boxer shorts, and we would just kind of do it as a little side thing. So that little side hobby turned into a full thriving business that we ended up employing 18 other people. So we were a 20 strong company. So it was 18 of our other classmates, actually. And I honestly learned more from running that business than I did from my subsequent university studies. But that kind of, for me, I've known from a really young age that I loved business. I loved the idea of owning a business. That kind of really started me off. I went from there to university. I kind of lost my way a bit. I think I watched a little too much Ally McBeal and decided I wanted to become an attorney. So I did my business degree, and then I went to law school, and I ended up working as an attorney and hated every minute of it. And I was desperate to, I knew I loved marketing because I had seen firsthand how that had taken our tiny little invisible, you know, homemade business and turned it into something that was really quite extraordinary and kind of took on a life of its own. And the only reason that happened is because, you know, by luck or happenstance, we were able to get, you know, really good marketing. We had amazing PR happening because we had a great backstory. And I just saw how marketing could take something invisible and make it not only visible but huge. So I had sort of fallen in love with the magic of marketing and knew that I wanted to start my own agency. But it took me another 7 years of working as an attorney in the corporate world before I actually made the giant leap. And it was a total leap of faith. I basically quit cold turkey. I didn't have any clients. I had nothing, but I knew that if I stayed in my corporate job, I would slowly, I was slowly dying every day. And so I had told myself, well, you know, if I could just make enough money to at least equal what, you know, what my living expenses are, then I could start my business full time. But, you know, that took, the years just started tumbling away. And I realized if I was ever going to do it, I had to jump and make it happen. So that's kind of what I did. I quit my very high-paying corporate six-figure income one day and started my marketing agency the next day. And it was truly a baptism of fire, and it's not something that I would necessarily recommend for everybody, but I knew that for me that I really was, that was the only way to hold myself accountable. And I made tons and tons of mistakes, but the one thing that I did do really well is I found a really good marketing mentor to learn from. And that person was Dan Kennedy. And I bought all of his courses. I took everything that he offered. And because of him, you know, I was able to land a Fortune 500 client within a couple of months. And I had actually, you know, as a copywriter, which is unheard of, I was able to even surpass my corporate income, you know, well before the year's mark was out. So fast forward to today, and we still have a marketing agency, but the the client stampede is a whole nother story, which I'm sure you're probably going to ask me about next, but that was really also my second baptism of fire in this industry.
Yeah. What? Okay. So you quit your corporate job, and so many, I think this is a typical entrepreneur story where people have a steady income and they've got somewhere that they are, and they're working for somebody else, and they want to go on their own. And, you know, there's that concern of like, okay, what happens if I go on my own and I don't have anyone to serve? I don't have I don't have any clients. And you have this concept, you've written a book about the client stampede, and it's based, I think, on your own personal story. So I would love to hear that story about how did you go from starting a business to having what you classify as that client stampede?
So, I started my marketing agency, and as I mentioned, I made a lot of mistakes, but the one thing I did is I invested in really, really good advice, and that saved me, I think. So that saved me, plus the fact that, I think it was someone, I don't remember who said it, but someone said necessity is the mother of all invention. And so my personality type, I knew that I had to really jump if I was ever going to make a go of this. So the agency, started out really, really strongly, which was a great thing to happen. And I was living in Los Angeles at this time. And so if we fast forward now, we are in 2007, which, if you recall, was the height of the housing market. And I ended up purchasing a house at the height of the market, on a tiny little postage stamp sized piece of land, paying well over what the asking price was, basically making all the, doing all the things that I'm sure everyone listening to this knows that you don't do. But, we had been looking for a home to purchase for a year and a half, and the market was just so hot and so crazy, and I was determined not to lose out on this house. So long story short, bought a house, paid too much for it. The market then basically fell out of the bottom fell out of the housing market. And my husband at the time got a transfer to Arizona. And so we needed to sell the property really quickly so that we could move to Arizona. And I was lucky in that my team in Los Angeles were well set up, so it didn't really matter where I was located, I'd be able to work remotely. The other thing that we did when we purchased this house is that we took out the biggest loan we possibly could. So we took out a 95% loan. And as the bottom fell out of the housing market, homes in our neighborhood in Los Angeles were losing money at a rate of, several tens of thousands every month. And every real estate agent that I spoke to about selling our house basically said the same thing. I'm sorry, but you're upside down on your house. Your house isn't worth anywhere close to what you owe on it. You just need to give it back to the bank. We can maybe sell it for you as a foreclosure. And so that didn't work for me. I wasn't brought up that way to just give up because people are telling me something's not possible. And so I realized that there was no other way to sell this house except for me to basically do it myself. So it's important to know, Rob, that I'm not a real estate agent. All I knew how to do was marketing. And so I figured, if now there was ever a time to test my own marketing abilities, it was going to be now. And so what I did is created a advertising campaign, a marketing campaign that would run for 7 days. So it would launch on the Monday, and on the Sunday evening, my goal was to sell the house to the highest bidder. So we arranged it so that everybody could come and visit the house at the same time. It'd be a Saturday and Sunday, and then that Sunday evening, it would sell to the highest bidder. And at that time, as you probably remember, open homes were kind of like ghost tours. Right. You'd be lucky if you got one or maybe two groups of people through. So we set the marketing out on the Monday, and basically all hell broke loose. We had people knocking on the front door asking for a peek preview. They gave all kinds of reasons why they couldn't come on the weekend. you know, we had people just walking by and stopping, wondering what on earth was going on, because no one had ever seen seen the kind of marketing that we'd done to sell a house before. Because, you know, I didn't approach the marketing of our home like every other real estate agent does, just by chucking a sign out front with a few flyers. I mean, we really did a very comprehensive campaign that looked totally different. Anyway, the upshot of all this is that by the end of the weekend, we had over 200 people, well over 200 people through the home, and we were able to sell the house for just a few thousand more than what we owed on it, which worked out to be well over 200,000 more than what the real estate agent said we'd get for it. And that, for me, was a really, like, it was a really pivotal point, because it showed me a couple of things. One, it showed me that it doesn't matter what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what any, you know, how bad things might be. The only thing that matters is that, you know, you find there are opportunities everywhere, and you can create your own, marketing can create its own demand. Because at that time, who would even think that, you know, a pretty nondescript house in Los Angeles, it's just a regular ranch home, would have been able to attract over 200 people through. And the biggest irony of it is that the people that ended up buying the home, they weren't even looking to buy a home, but they had seen our advertising and were kind of intrigued and came by, and they fell in love with it and ended up buying it for their daughter.
Right.
And so that process that that I created, you know, sort of the back engine of it, is what I call the client stampede. It's broken down into 7 steps, and that formed the basis of all of the marketing that we do for our clients today, using that exact same system.
Okay, so you talk about the client stampede, and it's a 7-step process. How complex would you say, like, is it a very complex process?
No, not at all. It's a very simple process. Basically, you start at step 1 and move to step 7. There's nothing complicated at all about the process. The complicated piece is just taking what you're reading or what you're understanding and putting it into action. It's just like following a bouncing ball. So anybody can do it. You know, we've had clients that were startups that had zero understanding of marketing or sales or anything, be able to implement it successfully. And it's, you know, we have Fortune 500 clients that have implemented it too. So it's just something, it's something that is easy and anybody can follow it.
Okay. And I'm blown away by the pricing, that the difference that you're having between what the real estate agent is saying to you and what you're able to actually get. How do you look at the pricing that people are charging, and getting that premium price? Is that part of the process also?
I mean, so pricing is an interesting thing, because people will always pay for what they value, right? And if you look at how pricing works, everybody can afford what it is that they truly want. I mean, you know, you look at the crack addict that is living homeless under a bridge. Somehow, some way, they manage to scrape together the money that they need to buy their next fix. You know, so when somebody says that they don't have enough money or it's too expensive, they're not necessarily saying that. What they're actually saying is that they don't see the value, right? And so if people are not seeing the value in what you're offering, what they're saying to you is that you have a marketing problem, you have a messaging problem. And so in our case, what I knew we could do is that, first of all, we weren't about cheating anybody, right? We weren't going to pretend that this was some, you know, giant luxury home that they would be getting or try and pull the wool over everybody's eyes. But what I wanted to ensure is that I was able to get full market value for the house, so that I could extract every possible dollar from it. Because at the end of the day, you know, especially in real estate, the market is going to pay what it's going to pay. But in order for you to be able to get top dollar, you have to do the footwork to be able to create the value and prove that it's worth, you know, what you're asking. Kind of the interesting thing with selling our house, and particularly in selling in real estate, is that human nature is such that they, you know, we never let other people get a great deal, right? We don't like people getting something from out from under us. And that's the whole principle that eBay is built on. Because if there's an article that you want on eBay and you know what its retail value is and you see that it's going to be going, someone's about to buy it for 50% less, and it's something that you want, you know, chances are you're going to jump in there and also bid up the price. And the price, the article will end up going for what the market assesses its value at. And that's basically what happened with our home. So by doing the footwork, by doing really good messaging, by proving the value or what we thought the value was, we let the market decide what the house was worth. And that's how we ended up being able to, you know, receive a much higher price for it because we were prepared to do the work.
Okay. And I mean, what you're saying is spot on. In fact, that the value of something is not the value that you assign to it. It's what someone will pay for it, right?
Correct. What they view it to be worth to them.
Got it. Okay. There are two concepts that are in your book, and I would like you to comment on them just briefly if you can. You talk about the difference between a marketing engine and marketing fuel. I read that part and I found it fascinating. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. And bravo to you, because that's possibly one of the most important components of successful marketing. So the difference between a marketing engine and marketing gas is really in regards to a marketing budget, right? So any company, any entrepreneur says, okay, I think I've got this much to spend on marketing. You know, what do I need to be spending my money on? Most businesses and most marketing agencies will pitch you what I call tactic marketing, which is where they'll be like, we'll advertise your company on TikTok, we'll advertise you on Facebook, on LinkedIn, we'll create viral videos for you, blah blah blah. All of those things are what I call marketing gas, because it's basically disposable marketing, so that when you put gas in your car every month, that it's used up, there's nothing residual left over. And that's the reason why most marketing doesn't work very well, because it is just gas and there's really no engine. A marketing engine, by comparison, is the system that your company has to attract, convert, and retain new clients, right? So that's things like having a really, really good website, having an autoresponder sequence, having a really solid sales script when you speak to a prospect, having a really solid follow-up system. All of those things are your marketing engine, because no matter what marketing platforms you decide to advertise on, if your prospects are coming to visit your company, they're going to need to go through these different steps of your marketing engine, and that's what's going to increase your response rate. So all of that to say that instead of thinking about tactic marketing or marketing gas, you need to, everyone just kind of needs to take a little step back and start looking at their business and their system of attracting new clients and converting them and retaining them as a marketing engine. So just like an engine, what are the different components that, what is the client journey that happens once somebody reaches your company and reaches out and says, I'm interested in what you're selling, tell me more, right? So building out your marketing engine is critical, because even if your Facebook advertising, your whatever kind of advertising that you're ending up doing, your marketing gas, even if that is really effective, if you don't have a marketing engine, you're going to be losing a lot of business just by virtue of the fact that people might be visiting your website, but then leads are not followed up properly, or they're visiting your website, but your sales process is maybe too salesy and not that you're not giving enough really good information. And so both of those, the marketing engine and the marketing gas, are basically the two lenses that you have to look through every single marketing investment your company makes. Are you investing in the marketing engine for your company, which will pay for itself many times over and will have longevity value far beyond a month? A good example of this is a book, right? I know you've written 3 books for your business, Rob. Writing a book for a business is a really great example of a component of your marketing engine, because it still has value a month later, a year later, sometimes many years later, to be able to attract and bring you new clients.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
It does. And let me just, I'm thinking about it from a practical perspective, and that is, you know, marketing gas. I'm here in Western Pennsylvania. We're approaching fall. The leaves are turning, and you know, you get together a big pile of leaves, you put a little bit of gas on that thing, and boy, you can create a fire, and you can create, it's impressive, and it'll give you warmth, but that fuel is not in an engine, and because it's not in an engine, it's just going to be something that's impressive for right now, but it doesn't actually get you anywhere. Whereas you're talking about creating the engine, and the fuel is the power that drives it forward. Is that properly understanding what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yep.
Wonderful. Okay. So you and I talked beforehand and we said, let's do a little practical demonstration of what we're talking about. Now, I was hoping that we would have a little bit more time to do this, but, you've said, I will be your guinea pig, and we can do a practical demonstration with my business. Are you still good for that?
Sure. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
So this is going to be like a mini hot seat.
Perfect. So, okay, so this is where I turn it over to you, and you get to ask me questions now, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. So I guess, tell me, if you wouldn't mind, what the number one biggest problem with your business is right now. And I don't mean problem in a negative way, but what's the thing that you're struggling with the most?
It's client acquisition. So as a speaker, okay, what one of the biggest problems is, where do I go to speak?
Okay. Got it. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, no, I was going to say, especially where am I going to go to speak that, as you put it earlier, that finds the value in what I'm doing? Because I can go speak in a ton of places. The Rotary Club and everybody would love to have me come speak, but they're going to give me like a nice dinner. I'm not actually going to be able to, to make any money there.
Okay. So my first question is, and with all the people, with all the speaking engagements that you've had in the past, which one has been the most lucrative for you?
So my experience has been that association speaking has been the most profitable way for me. And that's where, as a result, that's kind of where I've directed my marketing, is to associations.
Okay. So they would hire you as a keynote speaker to come and speak at their conferences, or how, like what kind of events would they be hiring you to speak at for them?
Yep. So, that is my original branding, is Your Motivational Speaker. And that's the name of my company. I am also working on doing some branding as Your Keynote Speaker. I own both of those .com. So most of what I'm doing is keynote speaking. Yes.
Okay. So how are you marketing your company right now? How are you getting new clients? What are you doing?
Most of it is done by, by Google and email. So doing a Google search for associations of a particular brand, occupational therapy associations, family practice associations, and so on, and then reaching out to them to see what they need and see, do they use professional paid speakers and so on, and see kind of how we can work together.
Okay. So is your speaking business is centered around motivational speaking, meaning that it could work potentially for any professional organization, or is your niche right now specifically in the medical association industry?
So, this is kind of a conundrum for me, because I don't want to say I can speak to anybody. And I also am hesitant about motivational speaking, because motivational speaking has kind of a bad name right now, where how many times people have brought in a motivational speaker and it's rah-rah, and then the results aren't there. So my passion is for the medical community, the medical niche. But there is also the other side of it that right now with COVID, everyone has been bruised and battered. And to be able to talk about overcoming adversity, to be able to talk about being successful with limitations is something that I think that the world needs to be reminded of right now.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. So I am the president of the International Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons, and we hold an annual conference that attracts 15,000 physicians from all over the world. We are looking for a keynote speaker, and we've heard about you through a grapevine. So can you answer for me why our association should hire you as our keynote speaker for our conference?
Absolutely. So the reason why what I bring to the table is this. I bring the patient's perspective on quality healthcare. And there are two things that we need to remember. Number one, patient-centered care brings better results. And number two, without patients, the medical practice doesn't exist. So in order to keep the patients, keep them satisfied, we've got to make sure that we're providing the type of medical care that they need.
Okay. So usually we would be chatting for at least an hour, if not 2 hours, to really kind of throw my arms around your business and give you some tips. But I'm just going to kind of cut to the chase because I know we've got very little time. So first and foremost, I know you've got a copy of my book. The biggest results that you're going to be able to get is by really honing in your target market. And it may be, like I said in the book, it may be that you actually are going to be, you're going to be marketing your business to separate target markets, and each one is going to have a slightly different message. Because I know for a fact that, you know, patient care is incredibly important. But is it important enough that they're going to want to A, have a speaking engagement, and B, want to pay for it? You know, I don't know the answer to that. So number one, I think you've got to get really, really clear on your target markets, and every target market that you market your business to, they've got to feel like they're the only ones in the room. So they don't need to know that you speak to the orthopedic society, or that necessarily that you're speaking to the Society of Dermatologists or whatever. It's just, you know, you're a specialist, this is what you do. So that's recommendation number one. Recommendation number two is that because of COVID and because it has completely changed, you know, organizations' ability to bring together large numbers of people to events of any kind, and because the world's gone digital, paid speaking opportunities have really shrunk to a tiny, tiny fraction of what they could be, which means that you're going to have to work 100 times harder now than you'd had to before COVID. And so what I would recommend doing is, I know we talked about this before we started the call, but is really looking at your sales process, because I would suggest that the money for you is not going to be in the front end, not in the speaking, but it's going to be in your back end of services, right? And it's going to be in the consulting side. So it's going to be about, you know, being able to go into an organization and almost do like a due diligence on what their patient care process is and benchmark it against best practices and come out with something tangible that they can then take back to their shareholders, to their CEO, to whoever, to say, here's what, you know, here's how we measure up, and here are the key areas that we need to address. And that's where the real money is. And the speaking engagement can be used to really showcase what you can bring to the table and really help educate them about what best practices are. So then they're thinking, oh my God, you know, what else do we need to do? And in that way, you don't have to rely so much on speakers' fees for your revenue. You know, you've basically got this whole back end piece, because as you know, one speaking engagement could lead to a variety of different consulting opportunities. And to me, that's a far more robust business model than just focusing on speaking. So I don't know how that sits with you.
No, I think it's very sage advice, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. And listen, I think it's something that everybody, the kind of questions that you were asking me is the kind of questions that everyone should be asking themselves in business. So yeah, I appreciate that. And listen, I appreciate you being on the show. If folks are interested in learning more about you, learning more about your book, or perhaps working with you so that they can get the benefit of what I just got, what's the best way to do that?
My new book, The Client Stampede book, is always a great place to start. And that is available on Amazon and in all leading bookstores. You can also listen to it on Audible for those people that don't like to read anymore, which is most of us. None of us have the time to read. So that's a really, really good place to start. You can also listen to my podcast, which is called The Client Stampede Podcast, and that is recorded. Episodes are recorded daily, Monday to Friday, and it just sort of gives you a quick soundbite each day to really get you thinking about building your business and marketing and tips and strategies. And then, of course, you can just connect with me on Facebook or LinkedIn, and our website address is simply clientstampede.com.
Beautiful. And I will put those links in the show notes so that people can find you and connect with you. And that would be phenomenal. Julie, you have been wonderful. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
I am. I'm a little nervous, but let's do it.
It's okay. A real easy one for you. Do you have any allergies?
Yes, I do. So I am horrendously allergic to certain kinds of pollen, which I wish I knew what kinds, but at certain times of the year, I feel like, you know, my sinuses are going to blow apart. But fortunately, I've got no food allergies. I've got no medical allergies, just a little bit of pollen.
You know what? It happens to the best of us and likely happened to the rest of us. What is the most ridiculous outfit that you have ever worn? The craziest clothing that you've ever worn?
So I remember... So I grew up in New Zealand, which is where my accent is from, in case anyone's wondering. And I remember my most memorable Halloween costume. I would have been 8 years old, and for whatever reason, I decided that I wanted to become a pumpkin for that Halloween. And so my mom carefully constructed this, wire crate that sat around me, and we put crepe paper on and decorated it. But basically I walked around the neighborhood looking like a, 300 pound pumpkin, complete with a stalk on top of my head with little orange stockings. And my brothers, I've got two brothers, and they still laugh at me when they think back to that, because I looked so ridiculous. So I would say that would take the cake.
That's fantastic. Okay. So you're in the States now. What is the one food dish that you miss from New Zealand, that they make it there in a way that you just can't get an equal here in the United States?
Oh, that's so hard, because New Zealand is a country of foodies. And so the quality of food that you can get just at a local cafe is just so fresh and so, it's so wonderful. So I miss that. But in terms of one dish, the thing that I really miss are great lattes, believe it or not. There's something about, I don't know if it's because, New Zealand dairy cows are raised on our rich pasture and it makes the milk even more creamy, but a latte in New Zealand is really, really hard to beat. I think it even beats the Italian lattes, but that's what I miss. That's probably the one thing, if I had to narrow it down, that I would miss the most.
Such an interesting thing. I figured in the land of, where there's more sheep than people, that it would be something sheep related, but it's a latte, and that, it's all good. You're in a judgment free zone here. So Julie Guest, you have been phenomenal. And let me just mention one thing. You've got on your website, a piece about looking at your client stampede opportunity score, right? Can you tell me about that just briefly?
Sure. So that is it's kind of like a really cool online quiz that my team created to help businesses. And so it's really for established businesses and businesses that may have already have an outsourced team for certain aspects, but it's to really help them get clarity in terms of what, like, the how far your business can go and what the steps are that you need to do immediately to take it there. So as an example, it really benchmark, if we took your business for an example, Rob, it would benchmark your branding activities, your sales activities against each of these specific sections that, you know, the top performing companies have, so that you can see where the big opportunities are to get your clients stampede. And the cool thing is that it's something that's free and you get a report mailed instantly. So if anyone's curious about their business and what to know what their client stampede opportunity report or their score would be, then they can do that by visiting our marketing agency website, which is just Boulder, B-O-L-D-E-R, and the word Louder, L-O-U-D-E-R.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for offering that. I think it's a valuable resource that I would encourage people to take advantage of. Julie Guest, you've been wonderful. To all my listeners, thank you for being with us today. And I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.